Okay, so welcome to our community webinar for Q&A. We're just going to have a quick disclaimer, which is that I'm not a medical doctor, so anything that we talk about in here is not medical advice, it's just my opinions, and any changes that you want to make, it's best to get medical advice first and make decisions based on your own judgment. And I am recording this so that we can share it with others. So just use discretion if you're concerned about the publicity or public nature of having things discussed. So just first names, and we don't need to talk about where we're from if you're worried about that sort of stuff. I have switched off the webcam just now. It can be fun at first to have a look at my head, but then after 50 minutes or so, all it does is chew up bandwidth. So it means that it's easier for people to watch afterwards if we don't have the webcam. And that's why. And then we will just run through. We'll probably get quite a lot of time. We might just go back and forth here. We've only got the two people on the call at the moment, so we might be able to get more time than 10 to 15 minutes. And we can just go over the background just quickly, just for my, quick recollection. Length of disease, other issues that you want help with today, what medications you're on, successes so far, so that we can see what's working, might be able to improve upon that, and just one or two major challenges, because we could spend all day. So we just want to try and work on a couple of areas and just try and target those. All right, so that's what we're going to try and run with. So let's go across, because I can take your questions via your microphone. I'll come back across to, hang on one second, come back across to Kim once I can find the right spot. Okay, so Kim, just if you could run through some of those bullet points that I just brought up a minute ago, and just give us a bit of a background. I know that you are part of our community, but with a lot of members, I just need a refresher before we can narrow it down.
Sure. Okay, so I was diagnosed last year, though I believe I've had it for 10 years, simmering in various forms, but it became, obviously something that really needed to be addressed last year. So I'm on methotrexate, 20 milligrams a week. That seemed to be holding up until probably a couple of months ago. And I didn't have much pain, so I've had to sort of redress my the diet, which I started about September last year, but I didn't do it religiously, I suppose. I modified it quite a bit, but in that time, the swelling in my knee, which was the major issue at the time, has actually gone altogether.
Oh, wow.
So that is really quite exciting. So what was the next question?
Well, that now we can just move across to problems. So, you're on 20 milligram methotrexate. You used a modified version of what I described in my program, and you were still able to get rid of all the swelling in your knee. So, where are you at now?
So what has happened? I started to get the pains that would move around the body, starting in the joints and the shoulders, and moving from one side to another. And the diet wasn't holding; the diet wasn't working. So in the meantime, of course, I travelled and introduced lots of other foods and thought I was all right with a lot of things. So just in the last fortnight, I went back to right to the beginning, and I've followed the 2 days of juicing and then the basic diet. So it has been hard. I think I've been detoxing or something over the last little time. I've been very foggy, fatigue, weight loss. And I don't want to lose any more weight because I'm only 49 kilos. But it seems that now, today, or 2 days, I've had 2 days pretty much where I've had very little pain. So I must be back into the healing groove.
Okay, good.
So I'm waiting for bromelain.
Yep.
I think that might help.
Yep.
And I'm introducing other foods sort of slowly now into the diet.
Okay, so sorry, continue.
No, you're on.
Well, it would seem to me that if on two occasions you've begun the program and on two occasions you've had wonderful results, and on the first occasion you then expanded your diet quite a lot, even from an originally modified version to begin with, and then you also traveled, and we all know how hard it is to uphold any kind of strict eating pattern when you're traveling, whatever that might be. And then this time around, it seems that although you've got some fogginess and it's been a little bit a little bit almost like some side effects of introducing the changes, even though they're not pain side effects, they've been a little bit hard to handle. However, it does seem to me that that your body responds in the way that the program's designed to have it respond. And so it's really, really encouraging. And I think I'm open to being able to answer any questions that you'd like help with, whether it be how to stick with it or which foods you should introduce next or how to modify it so that you don't lose any more weight or how to uphold motivation or what exercises would help as well to maybe build some strength in your legs and so forth. Because generally, when we have a large amount of weight loss, the easiest way to restore weight on the body is in the upper thighs, the glutes, around that sort of, lower part of the body where two-thirds of our muscle mass is inside our legs. And so that's where, but anyway, you might want to talk about other things. So I'm,
Okay.
what stuff would be most valuable for you?
Just probably the introduction of healthy bacteria. That's something that seems to be a little bit of a hit and miss with me, because I think I have a die off, a die back, or whatever, if I have too much of a probiotic. So I started just taking really small doses from a just a capsule of a dairy-free probiotic, just to slowly try and introduce that again. I'm not sure about miso, but I guess I'm just going to have to keep trying things.
So, we have got a literally today or tomorrow, maybe I'm going to be releasing another podcast that I did with Richard Matthews. Have you been listening to our podcast?
I
Okay.
have, yeah.
So the whole podcast is about fermented foods. The whole 50, in fact, we talked for an hour and 10 minutes about probiotics, fermented foods, everything to do with getting more bacteria into your gut. And so it's just extremely detailed, and I think that that will be the very, very long answer that would be good to sit down and listen to in your own time.
Great.
And in this, but just to answer your question in a really basic format, you can't go wrong with just taking lots of different varieties of non-dairy probiotics. And so they can be refrigerated, non-refrigerated, cheap brands, expensive brands, and everything in between. What my approach was to take them as often as possible and in between meals. That was my general approach. On top of that, I ate a lot of the miso paste because the miso contains the live bacteria and also healthy enzymes. And so by eating lots and lots and lots of the miso over a long period of time, I was able to, I believe that was one of the major reasons why I was able to heal on the inside, particularly through the, large amount of healthy bacteria I was adding. So in addition to that, all the leafy greens that you're eating are all what they call prebiotic or foods that bacteria want to eat. So you're already probably eating a lot of greens so that with the simple strategy of eating lots of foods that bacteria want to eat and then consuming the bacteria themselves to help with your existing bacteria, it's a pretty good recipe for success. And given that you've already had noticeable pain reductions twice when you've started from scratch, I think that I think that we don't really need to try and reinvent the wheel too much. We just need to
No.
keep you on the carriage.
That's great.
Yeah.
I have to say that the online resource, the forum has been absolutely fantastic for that. So when I feel like the motivation's dropping or I'm feeling like it's not working, I get it back on the forum and I have a good hunt around and so that's been really good. So thank you for that. And I really look forward to the podcast next week or tomorrow, whenever it comes.
Yeah, great. Did you what are there anything inside the forum that you feel that you would like more information on?
Couple of things. The sourcing the supplements,
Okay, where to get supplements? Yep.
where to get stuff, that would be great to have a,
Yep, a
because I
resource.
don't have, yeah, our health shops and chemists just don't seem to stock a lot of those things because we're only a small community, so that would be really good. The other thing was it's been great hearing about the Bikram yoga
Okay.
and the tips that Ellen has given and that you have given to me. I think that could even be a good little resource that if you were to put together all those points about speaking to your instructor, getting a chair, making sure you've got all these things. Maybe you can lie down. I think part of my fear about the yoga was thinking that it was going to be too physical. Then I realised that I guess if I can just lie down through a lot of it, well, that's, when I need to, that's going to be fine. But the fear is irrational. But I think having the tips that you have given me has been really very good.
I've forgotten, sorry, but are you going now?
No, I haven't started. I've just not felt well enough
Sure.
to
Yep.
go. I will have to travel, half an hour drive
Yeah. Yep.
to the coast. So then that just brings me to and another thing is the exercise. Often I will go and exercise and I feel great at the time and then next thing I'm getting some pain in a particular part. So, but I guess as I keep going with the diet, that will happen less and less, and I will be able to exercise more.
Yes, I think just watch what Danny does, because what Danny does is even when he's having a bad day, he forces himself to go and exercise, and then after he's done it, he feels like he's just conquered a major problem for his day, and as a result, the exercise then in turn helps him with pain reduction. So the challenge with exercise is working out. Is finding something that works for you that you enjoy, that you don't dislike so much that you won't do, and that doesn't cause more pain than it actually helps to alleviate. So it's a delicate balance, and it's exercise for me has been a moving target. At one point, all I could do was Bikram yoga, and then I realized that I got to a point with Bikram where there were some joints that were just remaining very weak. I could just tell they were weak, so that they still benefited from the yoga, but in particular, I'm talking about my elbows. They remained weak, and then it was only when I was going to the gym that I was able to restore more. I keep using the word robust recently, but more robustness to the little ligaments and tendons around connecting my elbow, and so then I was finding that I would be better off if I went to, say, gym 3 times a week and yoga 2 or 3 times a week. And then for a period, I was only going to the gym for a couple of months. And then I realized, something's not right. My knee's hurting a little bit in terms of, like grinding or something. And so then I felt, oh, wow, one Bikram class now just fixes that up for me. And so I always found that it is a moving target. Going up and down steps for a while was the best thing I could do for my knees. And so that's something that you'll find just by applying constant energy into that area. If you're constantly thinking, how can I try something today that's a bit different until I find something that works? And then when you have something that works, it's just rinse and repeat every single day so that you can start to see a little bit of improvement and steady with time. It also helps to have a very similar routine each day in terms of exercise along with your dietary stuff, because then when something does go wrong, it's very easy to pinpoint because only one thing changed.
Yep, that's good. So that I can't carry groceries and things like that either. So I guess in time I'll just work on the upper body as well. So that's...
Which parts hurt the most when you carry the groceries?
Probably my wrists.
Okay, yeah, your wrists don't do well when they're loaded and inflamed. So Andrea and I have had good discussions about how to there's a section within the forum called how to eliminate pain in the small joints like fingers, wrists, and ankles and stuff. So if you haven't seen that, I would suggest that you track that one down, because that thread contains a lot of discussions about those little joints, and the little joints don't like to be loaded. The knees and the elbows like to be challenged, but the little joints like to be left alone when they're screaming at you. And the best way to help the little joints is cardiovascular exercise. So it's not good enough just to do a little walk or just to go for a stroll. What we're talking about is trying to get a sweat going. And so I would never see anything happen until I actually started sweating for 10 minutes or longer. And I found that the sweet spot for me was to get on a stationary bike and just go round and round and round with a light resistance. So we're not talking about trying to, we're partially strengthening the knees in doing that. Well, not partially. We're definitely strengthening the muscles around the knee joints when getting on the bike. But what we're also doing is, although the exercise is a large distance from the extremities, like we're using our legs, but although the pain's in our fingers, we will see the pain in the fingers go down, or the ankles go down or wrists go down, just by doing 30 minutes of exercise on a stationary bike. And that, so that's something that I would encourage.
Yeah, that's something I haven't tried, so that's a good suggestion. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. So what we might do, I might go across. Michelle's joined us as well. I'll just stay with us if you can, if you've got the whole hour free. And if you've got some more questions, pop them into the question section. You can ask a question and I'll see that and I'll come back to you before we finish up. I don't have to be anywhere at the end of the hour, so I can stay on if you've got some more questions. I can come back to you. I just want to get Michelle and Ellen involved.
Okay, I can't thank you enough for what you've done. It's just absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's lovely. I appreciate that, Kim. That means a lot to me because, outside of the community, a lot of email customer support is a lot of people with a lot of questions, and sometimes I just think, oh, my gosh, it's like it's never ending. What that gives me opportunity to try and systemize as much as possible and to put together better frequently asked questions and to make more stuff available for more people so that but I appreciate that. The feedback's very important for me too, because to keep delivering the message requires some energy. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
Stay with us if you can.
I will.
Okay, I'll now just mute your audio so that you can chew on something if you'd like to without it being heard. Here we go. So I'm trying to work out. Okay, I'm just going to mute you now, Kim. Thank you. Here we go. All right. Now let's come across to you now, Michelle. How are you, Michelle? Can you have you got an audio on your PC or phone?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm good. This is so exciting.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Now, the reason that I've come across to you is I saw you've written here in the question section that you have to go by 6:25. Now, I think we're right on that now for you, aren't we?
Yeah. But I can I'm really enjoying listening to the feedback you're giving other people as well. So I
Okay.
might have a quick question and then I might pop over to my iPhone and I can listen through the iPhone for another 15 minutes or so.
Okay. Well, if you stay with us as long as you can, and well, I'll if you want to just get straight into it. Now, something that's confused me a little bit. Online, you've got Erin. Where's the Erin come from? What's going on there?
So my first name is Erin, but I actually go by Michelle. And when I was signing up, I usually put my first name on official documents, and I've tried to go in and change it to Michelle. So I have it as Michelle's journal, but I can't seem to figure out how to change the name
Okay,
to
so would
my
you
own
like to be
official.
Michelle throughout the whole forum? I can go and change it all to Michelle.
I would love that.
Okay, I'll see what I can do. But everyone has called you Erin everywhere, haven't they?
Yeah, that's okay. I know. That's why I didn't say anything, because I was
Okay,
like,
we might
oh, here we are.
maybe we'll just leave it as it is. So, I've got a good understanding of where you're up to because I've more recently than Kim sort of been responding to some of your stuff. So, no need
Yeah.
to chew up a lot of your precious moments now talking about that. Maybe just give us throw me some questions you might have.
Sure. I think, and I don't know, this is very direct or specific enough question. I should have thought it through a bit more, but probably my biggest challenge is just I'm a super like great self-motivator, optimistic. I'm very cold turkey, so I'm like, hey, you give me a challenge and I'll do it for the next 10 years if I think this is going to do something. And I think the hardest part for me over the last 3 months, because I started this on March 22nd, is actually just seeing myself just get worse. And I don't think it's the diet. I could not believe more wholeheartedly in all of this. But it's been really hard. It's been really, really hard. So the first month it was exactly steady progress, everything great. And I think I kind of had to figure out, which I should have known anyway, this isn't about a diet. You know, this is about I'm a scientific experiment and I need to kind of figure out everything that's playing a role in this. So probably a bigger challenge for me is, you know, sometimes when you first read the Pattison plan, you kind of have this hope of, great, it's saying 3 months and I'm going to be here and there. And you know, intellectually, that's not really the case, but you kind of have that. And I guess it's been almost more helpful for me when I've read the journals and your comments, things like, yeah, you had to reset like every week, you know, as you were going through this for a year or two, and you had to, you know, I mean, this was a long-term thing, and it was normal that maybe you had to go back to square one often. Because I feel like I'm doing everything, I feel like not only am I doing everything right, I feel like I'm kind of doing everything to the nth degree, and other folks I'm reading about aren't, you know. So that's really hard when I know, oh my God, I'm doing two enemas a day, and I'm doing Bikram every day, and I'm doing cardio, and I'm doing, you know, I'm only eating greens, and I'm only doing, yeah, and it's like, oh my God, it's not even sustainable to do what I'm doing. So just curious, like, is that am I normal? Is this, you know, should I just keep doing this, or
Yeah,
I don't know. Not really a good question, but.
so I think did I not just recently inside the software give you a whole list of questions to double check on things? No. Yes? Yep. So just refer back
And
to
I'm doing it all.
Okay,
I'm
you're doing
doing it.
it. So and just when did your RA start just once again? When did you get RA
So
again?
I've had it for 3 years.
3 years. Okay. And sorry, just,
September
and the
3 years
drugs?
ago.
And which drugs
So
again?
I've had it almost 3 years. And it really was actually, I'm realizing now, kind of a cakewalk. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, and which?
Methotrexate, I've only done methotrexate, and I avoid opioids.
Sorry, say that last one again. I think you've brushed your microphone with your hand or something.
Go ahead.
So just methotrexate and what?
Oh, sorry. I in just that's it,
Okay.
methotrexate.
Well, what and have you had your are you doing your monthly blood work?
We do it quarterly here. So yes, I do it quarterly, but I don't have it monthly.
Okay. Well,
It was I think I put this in the journal. It was pretty good in April. My I guess CRP is always below 2. It's just a less than 2 mark it gives us. I asked her to start doing ESR, and it was 8 in April, but it was 20 this time around,
Okay, so here's
which
my
was
quick
clear to
thoughts
me
on this.
because it's
What happens, what happened when you did 2 day cleanse? I want to know whether or not when you stop eating, do you still get inflammation, or does the inflammation start to subside? So we only need to know if it starts to subside. We don't need to know, it would eventually get to zero, I believe, if it starts to go away, you see.
It did when I first started the program, and I'm gonna just juice tomorrow. And I would guess, because it tends to be my pattern, if when I fast, when I water fast, when I juice, the pain that it subsides.
Okay. Well, that's good, because I find it harder to help people in the who are in the vast minority for whom it doesn't. So, where I've come to with that, just for other listeners to this, because this is where I'm up to with that, for the probably 10 or 15, no, it wouldn't even be 10% of people for whom, if they stop eating altogether, they still get pain, and I believe that's because of the bacterial overgrowth entering the bloodstream, even in the absence of foods. And so it's the bacterial protein, the protein within the bacteria, that's triggering the body to react and attack the joints in a sort of aggravated way. Whereas without, for most people, when they stop eating, it's only the foodborne proteins that are aggravating the joints. And so what I would suggest to people for whom are in the minority would be definitely look at some kind of some kind of approach where potentially using some natural antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral sort of supplementation to try and work on the bacterial overgrowth. But in your case, where it's mostly coming from foodborne proteins, we've still got this job of trying to heal the gut wall as our main priority, and maybe not as concerned with the degree of bacterial overgrowth. And so, what I had to do, and it sounds like you're in the same situation I was, because we all know that, I made this clear in the book, and I've since maintained that I couldn't even eat the foods that I couldn't eat the 12-day baseline foods at first without still having a pretty high elevated amount of pain. So obviously I felt better than when I was just eating freely, eating whatever I want. However, I was trying to find a diet that would get me to, like, well, I hoped at first, naively, that I could find some kind of range of foods that I could eat that could sustain me with having zero pain. But it was only the raw foods that would give me the lowest amount of pain, well below the any cooked foods that I could eat. And it was only after doing that for, 8 months that I was able to then able to introduce the foods that are now found in the first 12 days that at that point would then not give me any additional pain from what the raw foods were giving me, which were very, very low. So I don't recommend the raw food diet because it's so hard, and it really, really was some of the toughest times for me with this disease, was going through that raw phase, because it was hard to get a lot of enjoyment out of the foods, and they're all cold, and so you can get a dehydrator and warm things up, but I was always paranoid about overheating them and killing enzymes, and all sorts of my paranoias were kicking in. So it's just a very hard process, but there might be a way. We might not be able to solve this problem right now on the on this call, but there might be an angle for us to explore more inside the community, and just talk about as a strategy, just some experiments that might give you some indications as to whether or not you might want to find a hybrid where you do a little bit more raw in a way, but not just raw as in more leafy greens. I'm talking about finding some more raw foods that can support your, you know, energy requirements, and just to see if shifting a little bit towards that direction tends to work for you. And if so, then we can try and think about finding a lifestyle balance that's still acceptable, but a lower level of pain for you over the next month or so, that would give you some more encouragement and feel like you're making progress and not feel like you're getting stuck or even, you know, going a bit backwards.
Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you.
The raw foods don't need to be. What I found is that, you know, some people were asking recently about fruits and green smoothies and stuff on when doing raw. You virtually have to, even if you feel that you're sensitive to sugars. I find that the raw foods tend to be so low in their inflammation causing capacity that even doing green smoothies and so forth whilst getting most of your calories from raw actually still provides overall less pain than just about anything else you can possibly eat. So that was my experience with it, and has been the experience from others who are in your position where, you know, even under the best sort of cooked food environment that I could possibly ever create, I don't know whether or not it's going to quite turn the beast around.
Yeah.
How are you going for time there? Can I add a few more things, or would you like to switch to your
own? I actually have you on my iPhone. I'm going to take it in the car with me. You probably just won't be able to hear
your responses. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to send you a quick message right now. And anything else you have to add is really helpful. And I'm so bummed out. I'm taking my nephew on a date right now. So I actually, it's one of the few reasons that I'd have to actually go, because he's a priority. But I want you to know how meaningful this is to me, and thank you so much.
Oh, no, you're welcome. And did you want, will you still be able to hear me if I keep talking now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll assume that you can now take your nephew on his date. That's very important. And I'll assume from now on you can't respond, but I'll keep talking with the expectation that you can hear me. So I don't want you to be discouraged by not making the progress that you feel that you know, maybe deserve from all the effort that you've been putting in. When I was, you know, during those 8 months of raw, I still had ups and downs. It wasn't like my pain the whole time was at like a 2 out of 10. I mean, I still felt the pain shift around my body. I still felt agonizing in the knee. And it was eventually, even after the 8 months of raw, I still had to have the injection into the left knee to get that thing under control. I was still having joint pains in many of my joints. It just took a massive edge off it. Not even an edge. It took like, it sort of smashed the problem in half, but that other half, you know, it's like having half cancer. It's still shocking, right? And so I just want to encourage you and say that, yes, you know, I've been through that situation that you are in right now, whereby it's bang the head against the wall sort of situation and doing everything that you feel should be working and it's not. But there's always a solution, and don't give up. And that if I'd have given up through some of those most frustrating times, I wouldn't be able to share what I've found, and certainly wouldn't be a happy person in any way, shape, or form. So I just want to send a lot of encouragement and send that message. All right. Now, we've got Ellen online, but I don't think Ellen can ask me any questions because she hasn't got a microphone connected, but so what I'm going to do, I'm going to come back and see if Kim has any more questions, because I haven't received any questions from Ellen. And I apologize, Ellen, I'm checking everywhere here, but I'm getting nothing, no questions coming through. Ellen, if you'd like to ask me a question, please just go ahead and ask questions in the questions section. And meanwhile, I'm going to come back to Kim, who may have some more questions for me. And given that Michelle is now off taking her nephew on a date, which is really lovely, no aunts of mine ever took me on a date. I wonder what you're going to do whilst they're dating. That's going to be interesting. Sit in the car, maybe. Anyway, I'm going to come across to you, Kim, and we'll see whether or not Ellen can shoot through. Oh, hang on a second. Ellen's telling me she has a microphone. Let's just see if I can hear Ellen. We'll come across. Here we go. Okay, now I've unmuted you, Ellen, so in theory you might be able to speak back.
Do you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Fabulous. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Oh, having a great time here. Really enjoying chatting to, first of all,
That's
Kim and,
cool.
then Michelle. Yeah.
That's great.
So it's great that you're able to get a microphone. Really good to be able to hear your voice. How's things going today?
Oh, pretty good. I went swimming with the grandkids a little bit, and I'm doing pretty good. My knees were pretty. Left knee was pretty swollen this morning, but it seems better now. And doing okay.
All right. So, let me just summarize my understanding of, where you're at so that we can try and come up to speed and then maybe do a little troubleshooting and planning.
Yeah, I do have a problem, so yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah. It seems to me that overall you've been making great progress, and we've just got these two problematic knees that are really, really sort of trying to prevent you from achieving your overall goal, which is getting rid of all of the joint pain. And it seems to me
Yeah,
that, I'm sorry.
I don't have much pain. I just mostly swelling.
Okay, well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for correcting me. Yep, that's
I don't
very,
get
very important to
swelling.
differentiate that. Okay, well, and then you've been going to Bikram very regularly, which has been very inspiring to many other people inside the forum who've watched you from the start. Get in there and, go very regularly, and also the improvements that you've recorded and, told us about with regards to flexibility and improvements, you know, just with regards to your ability to go into postures better and more strength and so forth. So it's been really, really good to see how you've progressed through Bikram. And perhaps if you could, you know, correct me if
Wow.
I've said anything wrong there, and maybe tell us where I can help you out.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't never thought I would ever do Bikram yoga ever. I mean, really, but I took a risk and went in there, and I'll never stop now.
That's great. That's
So
great.
I feel pretty good. I kind of wonder why I'm not well yet. I know Dr. Clapper said it's because I'm that percentage of people that just, you know, like he said, half of his patients just get well right away when they eat the way we are eating, but not me.
Well,
And
certainly it took me a very long time. If I had have only just switched to a plant-based diet, and let's just say, okay, my only strategy was to shift across from a standardized Western diet and move across to a plant-based diet, I would have continued to deteriorate. If I'd have then tweaked it and made it a low-fat, no oils plant-based diet, I would have continued to deteriorate. I had to do everything within my power to try and find additional ways to stop stepping on pain landmines.
Oh yeah, you have a lot of you had mega pain, yeah.
So just wanted to make sure that you, I don't know if, yeah, I guess half sounds optimistic to me, certainly from my sort of range of people that I've worked with, half would be good if they all would, and maybe he's talking about, you know, with the help of some medications or something, but I'm not sure. But anyway, the point being is we're focused on you. So tell us about the swelling in your knees. I've been wondering when I've been reading your posts what happens when the swelling goes down, and I've been sort of
Oh.
baffled by whether or not it actually gets sort of sent to other parts of your body that you don't actually detect, and then later on it in a way drains back into the knees, or whether or not it actually just gets rid of it and then your body reproduces new fluid. What were your thoughts on that?
I think it's the last one you said. I mean, I don't know what it is, but all I know is after Bikram yoga, it's almost my knees are almost normal. I mean, the left one's a little bit has a little swelling, but the right one's almost normal. It's like a miracle, you know. And then I get like 2 hours where I'm pretty good, you know. And then it comes back 2 hours later. So I don't know. I don't quite get it, but I know that that's a good sign that I'm on the right track, is what I think.
I absolutely think that, and it's those kind of things that I would hang my entire life on at the time. You know, I'd be like, this gives me 2 hours relief. This has to be a good thing. I'm going to therefore do it as much as possible without quite fully understanding it. I would ask Dr. Clapper and see what his thoughts are on it. You may have to go into a bit of detail about how difficult and how demanding the class is so he can understand that, this isn't, but people, it's very hard to comprehend how life-changing and powerful Bikram can be, because everyone thinks of yoga as all the same. It's just a little bit of stretching, standing on a rock near an ocean. It's quite different, isn't it? It's something.
What's so different is it's so much easier when it's hot. Like when it's that hot temperature, I can get into things that I never dreamed I could get, positions I could ever dream of getting into. I couldn't do them when it's not, when it's like 70 degrees or 80 degrees outside. It has to be, my class gets pretty hot, 120. It's up there, but I seem to be able to tolerate it okay. I drink quite a bit of water.
I think the class is fine. I think from that point of view, stick with it. I certainly did. I did 700 classes.
So you want to hear my? I do have a problem.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it's related to your program. You say don't eat after 7, right? Well, I don't do that. Because I have to every day. I have to eat my 2 cups of organic steamed kale. And I usually don't get that done until later in the evening. So I tend, sometimes I eat it at midnight. And I don't have a problem going to sleep or anything, but I would like to get it done earlier. And the other thing I have to do is I do my step up and down off the step thing for 30 minutes with the 5-pound weight vest. I do that. So those two things, I kind of like when I get home from Bikram yoga, it's 9 o'clock, because I go in at 7 because I've got grandkids from 4 to 6:30 and or 4 to 6:20 p.m. and I'm busy. So then I that's a kind of a quagmire for me. I think Andrea was helpful, her suggestions. But I need to somehow make it a priority to get my eating done by. I shoot for my first goal should be like 10 p.m., I think.
Yeah, so this is a good question, because something I haven't remembered answering ever is eating after Bikram. You absolutely have to. Absolutely got to eat after Bikram, because none of us could consume enough food throughout the day to then do a class around 5, 6, or 7 and then not eat afterwards. It's impossible. So you have to eat afterwards, because otherwise you just can't support the 1,000 calories that Bikram burns every day.
Okay.
So now ideally, if all you did and you had nothing else to do was focus on healing, then I would suggest a 4 p.m. class for Bikram, or even a anywhere between 12 midday and 4 p.m., because then what that does is enable you to exercise throughout, sort of in between meals, especially between 2 and 4, say, after an early lunch and then middle afternoon. And then you come home ravenous. You can eat all you want, and then you're all done and dusted, or you're eating by 7 p.m. Now, that's not possible.
It's not going to work for me.
Right, doesn't work.
They have a 9 a.m. class, but I don't like being around those people. Like it's all full, and it's like,
yeah.
I mean, it's fine and everything, but I like it at 7 because there's only like 3 or 4 people come in. I get, the teachers helps me quite a bit, and it's like much better for me.
Yes.
And I have a friend named Veronica that's there now that I see. She comes at the same time. And so.
Yeah. Let's not even contemplate changing, because it's working for you now. The only thing with that is we have to understand that digestion does start to slow down after sunlight dissipates. Okay, so we know that after dark, our digestion is not as good as what it is during the day. At maximum digestion is at lunchtime, and then it dies off as the sun goes. So we actually have some kind of receptors in our eyes that can tell natural light, and then they are communicating with our digestive juices so that we produce more digestive juices when there is sunlight. So that doesn't mean...
In that book, The Enzyme Factor,
mm-hmm.
it says you should get your eating stopped before you go to bed too, you know. So, I mean, I'm getting motivated. Go ahead.
What exactly are you eating after Bikram, late at night?
Well, usually either a bunch of quinoa or a bunch of, sushi rice, white mm-hmm. sushi rice.
Sure.
And California, and then usually regular potatoes or sweet potatoes, 1 cup of pinto beans cooked, and like 8 ounces of zucchini steamed. That's a lot of food, huh?
It's a lot of food.
And the 2 cups of greens, you know, that now there's no way I will not eat that greens. So
yeah.
So no, you know, it's like, what I need to do is make the stuff earlier, you know?
Yes, yes. So this is...
I have the morning to get that done, and I'm going backward. I'm like opposite of what I should be doing.
Okay, so I would have the easiest meal of the day after Bikram. So I think we've established that you don't want to, for now, make any changes to the scheduling because it's working, and let's not rock the boat. So it makes sense to continue to go at 7, but to try and improve the after Bikram eating in a way that may minimize the return of swelling or any other detrimental effects of late night eating. Okay. So I would look towards the range of foods that you want to eat throughout your day, and then put all the ones that require the less amount of effort on your digestive system and put them last so that they get eaten after your Bikram. Now, certainly the pound, a couple of, you know, the amount of greens that you said, the greens are going to be easy to digest. They'll just move straight through your stomach into your small intestine, and away they go, because there's not a lot of heavy lifting to be done in the stomach on all of that plant fiber. As for the others, I mean, all of it's pretty easy to digest. Everything, I mean, you've got nothing in there. All of the nasties aren't in there. None of the dairy, none of the oils, none of the meat. So, I mean, we're not talking about foods that are really heavy to digest. And so you might not be seeing a great amount of problem from doing what you're doing. But, you know, if you were to ask me, Clint, I just have to get down this joint swell. What can I do? I would say, Ellen, I'm going to have to insist that you're going to have to eat earlier, which means putting Bikram earlier. It's, you know, we'd have to get to that standoff, you see? And so all I can say for now is just try and tweak it so that at the very – with the overall aim of trying to bring the eating – as close to possible to straight after your Bikram class, so that then you've got a couple more hours of digestion before you go and lie down.
Yeah, because then I can close the kitchen down and I won't be fooling around in there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I tend to go to bed midnight and most of the time 1:20, 1:10, you know, it's sometimes 2 o'clock. So like, I want to change that too, because I was listening to Dr. Neil Bernard talk about how you got to get to bed earlier, because there's a certain the brain works on, you know, shelving all the stuff, the information during the first part of when you sleep, you know, getting it all into its little compartments and stuff. And if we'll wait till like 2 o'clock to go to bed, I've kind of missed that whole thing there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. And I saw your post online about that, so I was aware that you already were aware of that. And so I think it's just a matter of, you know, using a bit of a big stick on you verbally over the phone now and saying, if you want to get those knees down, you're putting in so much effort with going to class every day and you're living a really busy life, I would say that a little bit of discipline will go a long way with regards to, if you go to bed an hour earlier, then you'll have that little bit more sleep and you might be able to get up 20 minutes earlier and get a little bit more preparation done for the post Bikram feed.
Right, that sounds good.
Right, so I think, if need be, you might need to draw out your day. And, I know this is laborious and boring, but sometimes if we actually force ourselves to write it down and look at it on paper, we'll see that there's an opportunity where you can make some changes that'll help. I certainly know that, when I used to be at university as a uni student, going to bed late every single night was normal. We'd always go to bed at 1 or 2 because there's too much happening. You couldn't calm down. There was always something in the dorm next door. Someone was having a party. And I found, very taxing just having that schedule versus going to bed, like we're forced to now with our little one. We have to get to bed by 10:30. And, I don't know. I feel like we're naturally configured to work more when, to go to bed not too long after dark and then wake up when the sun comes up, as, if in an ideal world.
Yeah.
So I think just a tweak right now, I know you're going to bed even later than 12. If you can get to bed at 12 and you can try and have all your eating done by 10:30 even, would be better than what you're doing now, right?
That's a good goal. Yeah. I'll get that and be consistent about it, and then I can.
Yeah, because it might answer one of our questions about why 2 hours after Bikram your swelling might come back, you see, because what might be happening is because what do you do 2 hours after Bikram? You're always eating, and you're eating in the nighttime, which is a fundamental. So, it is possible. It is possible.
I'll have to treat it as an experiment and see if it's true or not.
You know what? One day, just one day, you can handle this. Eat as much as you can before Bikram, and then after Bikram, just have half a meal, or even just have all of your greens.
Okay.
Just one day as an experiment. Minimize the amount of food after Bikram at nighttime, and just see if that gives you a big clue.
See if it gives me a longer period of not swallowing, no swelling, maybe.
Yeah. That would be a good test.
Yeah, I've been on this Dr. McDougall diet thing, which is similar to your, very similar, for since March 2013. So it's been two and a half years now. But you said it took you 3 years, I think, before you got well.
I would say, I would say I tried various things for, I'm actually going to put this together as one of the things I'm going to be working on shortly, is to do a timeline of exactly what I was doing for how long and when. So right now, because I haven't started working through my notes and working backwards, I'm just going off the top of my head. But I did the 8 months of raw, and then at least 2 years of after that before it was absolutely completely gone. But before the raw, I was trying just simple vegetarian diet for probably 12 months prior to that without, and still deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
So, three sounds definitely too small, too short. The fact that you've got
my lab's coming up, so then we'll find out if it's gone now or not.
Yeah, and so the rest of
it's going to be better because, my doctor believes it's the methotrexate, but I think it's of course it's both. It's not just, it's diet, exercise, and methotrexate.
How long you been on methotrexate?
Oh my God! Well, I started with shots back in January of 1999, and then I went into that. Then that was about a year and a half, and I went into remission for a year, and then it all came back, and then back on methotrexate. So methotrexate, at least 14 years of off and on. Most, but late, after that third remission, I had like a couple, two more remissions that were like 2 months or something. Then it all came back every each time. And then this last time, I got off everything except for sulfasalazine in October of 2014. And then, of course, 2 months later, it all came back. So
are you on this? Are you just on methotrexate or also on the sulfasalazine now?
Sulfasalazine, but that's now this time I'm going to get off the sulfasalazine.
Yes.
Instead, I thought that that was a safer drug, but I don't know if it is or not. You know what I mean?
Well,
now I'm going to switch it and I'm going to get off of that and then I'll get off the methotrexate.
That's what I would do.
Because I don't know about, you know, sulfasalazine is not working for me.
Well,
I mean, it works for other people in this community, but not, it's not working for me that well, because how could everything all come back like that when I'm on it?
Yeah, and this is where the question continues to haunt me about whether or not the antibiotic factor within the sulfasalazine is actually playing a negative effect. My feeling is absolutely, but I haven't got any proof of that. But that's the concern I have.
And it might be why I'm not getting well.
Correct.
I mean, because of my gut.
That's what I feel. That's what I feel. Now, we also need to take a step back and remember that rheumatoid itself is a progressive and aggressive disease that tries to constantly take you down. And so we also have to remember that the natural disease state is to worsen. So we're swimming against the current. So we just need to also be aware of that, not to treat it too lightly, that what we're trying to do isn't one of the hardest things possible. So
yeah, when you feel better, then you forget.
Yes, that's right. And you're absolutely right. So I agree with your decision and the chats that you'll have with your doctor about that, that I think also what I would do in your position, I would also leave methotrexate to last. And partly that's because, you know, that was the situation I was in, and I couldn't really fault methotrexate from a point of view of causing gut problems, but certainly it gave me a lot of other problems. But you're already on the drug, so it's not like you're adding them to your life. So if you can hang on to those, if you can, you know, continue to perform like you are with all the exercise and all the social and family things that you've got going on that drug and sulfasalazine, then certainly by lowering one of them, you know, if you don't experience a pain spike, then that would be fantastic.
I only get pain like maybe, I think it's related to my back. It's sometimes in the, you know, the top of my hip or something, but it doesn't last that long. And then the Bikram, of course, all the pain goes away, unless I've done something I shouldn't have been doing, pushing too hard.
Yeah. Have you, presumably you've had your knees drained many times?
No, just to probably 1999, that was the only time. It didn't really do anything. It came back, I think.
Yeah, but here's the thing, is that now you've got tremendous amount of differences in your situation today than what you had in 1999. So what I would do is, and this is more like we're creating a lot of if-then situations here. If the experiment that you do at night with your eating creates absolutely no difference with your swelling returning the next day, and if after another 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks of doing Bikram as often as you can, you still continue to get the swelling every single day despite your very best efforts, and if you're doing everything else that seems perfect, then I would go in and have them aspirated, those two knees, rather than doing Bikram that day. Just go and get them aspirated, because I just wonder whether or not that same exact fluid just keeps coming back because the body doesn't know how to eliminate it. And if it were eliminated via a syringe and then you returned back onto the exact same thing that you're doing now every single day, it may have a profound effect.
Maybe. I'll talk to the doctor about it.
See what they say, because they often will tell you, oh, but it just comes back every day. Yes, it might for 999 out of 1,000 people who are not doing all of the exact correct things that you do to stop the perpetuation of your body producing it.
Mm. I have one more question too about the
Absolutely.
Bikram yoga. Like, I I tend to do like 4 days in a row now, and then on the fifth day I'm just absolutely exhausted, and like I had to go to bed really early, which is good, you know, for me, but just so tired. I mean, and then the next day I'm fine again, but it's just, I think it just kind of wipes me out after 4 days. I can't really, I haven't been able to go, like, so I'm going 4 days a week.
That's brilliant. I was only,
I'm trying to catch up so that I was going 4 days a week, I think, because 1 week I missed 1 day or something. And so now I'm all caught up. I went Thursday again, but that seems to be good for me, 4 days. And I feel benefit all week from doing it. But any more than that, like I might, and like lately my heart's kind of skipping a little bit, but which is kind of a nuisance. I don't think there's anything wrong with my heart, but sometimes I have like, well, normally on my lab, my sodium is always like 135 or something. It's like on the really low end, and my calcium is always a little bit low. So I'll just talk to Dr. Clapper about it.
Yep.
I don't like sodium that much. I don't like to eat salt much, but
right.
I mean, I was thinking, well, I sweat so much out, maybe I should add a little salt after a Bikram yoga class.
Well,
like
I think
a sprinkle.
I think so. Personally, the miso paste and the seaweed are so salty. Are you eating those?
Yeah, I like the kelp sprinkles. I know I have to not have too much, and I do have the dulse too.
Mm.
So,
look,
I can't handle it.
You should also be able to, in terms of general good practice for after Bikram, try and have a coconut water, which is very low in sugar. So it shouldn't, I don't think that's going to affect you one way or the other. And the seaweed is absolutely fabulous to include on your salad or, you know, as you're already doing. And just tons of water. And I used to put a lot of salt on my foods. And, you know, we all have opinions on that. And we all have our taste buds that influence those thoughts. But I never saw a relationship between salt intake. And I'm talking not your process. I'm talking saltic or Himalayan salt. I never saw a relationship between salt intake and pain ever. So that was my experience.
Swelling. I think I swell a little bit more if I use too much salt.
Okay.
I'm just going to, like Dr. Clapper said, just do a pinch.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just doing it on my, so I'm going to, after Bikram, when I drink the celery juice and the celery cucumber, totally feel better.
Awesome.
So on the Bikram day, I need to do the celery cucumber 1 carat juice. And that's about it. I don't have too much more to say.
All right. Yep. Well, Kim just raised her hand, so I'll just go back to her just a sec. Right.
And thank you so much for your kindness and just everything that you help all of us with. You're just so kind and knowledgeable and wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Ellen. Thank you for all your help too. And I have reached out to both Dr. Clapper and Dr. McDougall. I've got responses from both of them. Dr. Clapper's going to be on the podcast shortly. We just got to arrange a time, so that's a big, big win.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's really cool. I got the contact request from Dr. McDougall, and I replied to him, but I haven't heard back. So we'll just wait and see. He asked me to contact him directly, which I did only a couple of days later, but that was a week ago now. So we'll just wait and see.
He might send it again. I mean, he might have got lost in all his – he has lots of emails.
I'm sure. It must be out of control. When is your advanced study weekend with him?
September 11th, 12th, and 13th.
Okay, so that's some time away. So I'll chase him up before then if I don't hear him back.
Okay,
thank you. And I'll just stay with us because we're going to wrap up in just a couple of minutes. So if you want to just hang with us, we'll only be another little few minutes. Yeah. Thanks, Ellen.
Thank you.
G'day, Kim. I'm now just unmuted you and just coming back to see whether or not you have any more questions before we wrap up.
Thanks, Clint. I've just realised that I think we underestimate the stress levels in our lives and how that affects our rheumatoid flare-ups. I feel a bit embarrassed to say this, but I have to have about 10 hours sleep a night, otherwise I just don't function. So I couldn't possibly go to bed at 12 o'clock at night. So if my routine gets out of my eating and I need to eat before 7, I find that my rheumatoid just seems to, the pain seem to be, to aggravate more.
Absolutely. That was my experience as well. I sometimes used to push it and we'd eat at 10, sorry, 10, we'd eat at like about 7:45, 8:15. And the mood, as I would sit down with Melissa as we're eating around that late period, would be very different because we both knew without having to talk about it that I was going to have a rough day the next day. That's how predictable it was for me. The later I ate, the more problem I was going to have the next day. And so, it's just sometimes we couldn't avoid it. You know, I, for whatever reason, this life gets in the way of the routine. And so I had more of a similar experience to yourself than Ellen. Ellen has a, I guess, a enviable position where she is able to get by on lower sleep and get to bed late at night, which is was not the case for me and not for most people either. So don't feel embarrassed or upset that you have to have 10 hours sleep. I'm sure a lot of us would take 10 if we could get it too. So your comment about stress is absolutely spot on. And again, inside the community, you may have read, there's a whole chunk of information in a single thread called stress and rheumatoid arthritis. And it's all the scientific studies that show how the stress directly impacts the body and as well as that, some ways that we can alleviate stress. And there's a lot of things there, not just meditation and not just exercise and so forth that can, you know, change the body's how it feels, but also just communicating about the disease and being heard and listened to has been scientifically shown to have a better outcome on the disease progress, and also writing down in a typing or handwritten manner also helps to reduce the future potential problems with the disease. And these are scientific studies that have been done on two separate groups of people. And so it makes me feel that, it's very beneficial to have these kind of conversations and to be in an environment like the forum where people genuinely want to hear how you're going and genuinely want to help. And so that's one of the motivators for me to keep encouraging people to try and sign up and, try and make it a success.
Oh, I agree totally with the writing things down and the other thing that you mentioned.
Yeah, talking
just now,
about it.
Yeah, and talking about it. It reduces the anxiety hugely because if you don't have somebody else who is understanding, it's really hard.
It is.
So that was all I wanted to say was, I think that we forget about the stress. We do the diet and think, why isn't everything working? But it might be that we need to simplify our lives even a little bit.
Absolutely. No, I had the rare situation where I was only performing maybe once or twice a week, and because I was performing for companies and became a specialist at that, though that level of work, just half an hour here, half an hour there, was enough for us to have a reasonable lifestyle. I had the rare situation where I was able to apply every moment of my every day in trying to work out what was going wrong and try and get on top of everything. And so, that's that sort of situation was so helpful for me to keep distractions to a minimum and my focus to a maximum. So anything that gets close to that is going to be beneficial, but we also have to balance everything with having a career and a family and friends and demands and stuff. So, it's not easy, and we all have to support everyone else who's got these. We all have these challenges to work with, but, the main thing is that there are many, many things that can be done, and once we all know what those things are, we can all take as much action as our time permits to keep the pain to a minimum and the drugs to a minimum.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Kim. Well, thanks very much for coming on the call. Really appreciate it. Also, thanks to Ellen, and she's still listening. And, of course, Michelle had to go and take her nephew on a date. So it's all been quite an adventure. So thank you so much. And I'm going to let everyone enjoy their evening for Ellen and their afternoon for Kim. And I'm going to go and find out what's been happening with little Angelina whilst I've been on the call. So thank you so much for being part of the call, and I hope it's beneficial also to everyone else who's going to watch the replay. Bye for
now.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.